It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I hope all of you have had a nice Thanksgiving and a good Thanksgiving weekend in what is a very different world. Today is the last day of deer season in Illinois as we have the second season coming to a close. But I'm going to take us a long, long way from Illinois this morning. And I'm going to take us up to the Pebble Mine in Alaska, which you've heard me talk about so many times. The Pebble Mine, this week, was given what I think finally is its death knell. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers refused to grant the permit, the 404 permit, that the Pebble Mine would have needed to had to begin operations. I've talked about this as many of you who listen know for the past 3 years or more on the air, it's been about a 20-year process trying to get this mine built in the largest salmon spawning grounds in the world, the most important fishery in all the world, the Bristol Bay area. And the Pebble Mine would have jeopardized all that. I've had all kinds of experts on the air. We've talked about it. You may recall last September we were talking about all of a sudden the Pebble Mine was going to be fast-tracked, and there was, out of nowhere, President Trump announced that he wasn't so sure it should be fast-tracked. This was a complete reversal from what had just happened weeks before when, as happens in politics, an individual had gotten to somebody in the administration. And the Pebble Mine, which had been sort of muddling along, suddenly was a fast track for approval. And the next thing you knew, a couple of individuals met with President Trump and talked about how important this stopping this mine was to the fisheries of Alaska. These individuals happened to be very important to President Trump. And next thing you know, he asked the Corps of Engineers to take a deeper look. Wednesday, the Corps of Engineers announced the Pebble Mine is not going to happen. So it goes to show, as I mentioned several weeks ago, a lot of this is politics, but at the end of the day, the Corps of Engineers has made a very solid decision, which will save the Pebble Mine. Certainly, the Biden administration coming in would not have a positive view on the Pebble Mine, but that still might not have stopped it. But it is over now. There is no court of appeal after the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denies a 404 permit. Both senators now in Alaska have come out against it. They should have come out much earlier. They were reading the political winds. My great friend Mackay Campbell, who's been on the air talking about this, deserves an enormous amount of credit for being in the background, making sure that the Pebble Mine did not proceed. So for all of us who love Alaska, all of us who want to think that there is a place in the world where salmon can swim freely without pollution, without industrial waste, without the threat of a mine in one of the most seismically active areas in all the world, we can take a deep breath and we also can say we got something right. There is no need to build the Pebble Mine, particularly for the Canadian company. Not that I don't like Canadians, but no reason to build the Pebble Mine in Alaska with a Canadian company. And at the end of the day, it could not be demonstrated that the Pebble Mine would not potentially seriously impact the environment of Bristol Bay and the greatest fishery in the world, the greatest salmon fishery in the world. So we'll move on from the Pebble Mine. You can chalk that one up to a win for the good guys. Really, really awesome. What's not a win for the good guys is we are now here the weekend after Thanksgiving, And it looks as though what has been an American tradition since the end of World War II, boat shows and sports shows, hunting, fishing, outdoor, camping shows, it looks like there will not be one held this winter, which will be a very different time indeed. Of course, we've been through an incredibly different time over the past 9 months, but the arrival of the coronavirus and the lockdown of America really began after the sport show and boat show season ended. The Minneapolis Sports Show, Sport and Boat Show, was really the only one that I'm aware of that had serious impacts from COVID. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show, one of the biggest in America, had just ended before the restrictions came into place. For so many of you listening, you know how important it has been to go to a boat show in January, McCormick Place, or wherever you might be going, to go to the sports shows, whether they be in Milwaukee or the great one that used to be in Rosemont, which unfortunately was just a shadow of itself, go to Minneapolis, great sports shows in Chicago. The outdoor industry thrived in the winter because of the consumer shows. They're not going to happen, and I don't think, actually, they're ever coming back. I think what we're going to see is that a year of no sport and boat shows in a business that appears to be thriving because of online sales, the boating business, the fishing business, have been unbelievable in 2020 because of the pandemic and people wanting to get outside. I think it'll be very hard to restart in 2022 the entire boat show, sports show business. A lot's going to happen in the next year. There are going to be huge technological advances, which once again will make it less attractive for a boat dealer to pack up all of his boats and go down to McCormick Place, or for the lodges and resorts from around north of the northern part of the United States to want to go to Milwaukee for the sports show in Milwaukee, or for your retailers to want to go and pack up and show all their wares. We might be at the end of what has been a tradition in America going back to really the end of World War II. The birth of the sports show industry came after World War II for the most part, and they thrived for 70 years and more. But I think that COVID, along with the technological advancements we've seen, and the internet, the whole ability to interact with individuals without being face-to-face with them, is going to mean that sports shows are probably, you've probably been to your last sports show. I may be wrong, but I think it's quite possible that for those of you listening, wherever you may be listening, that you will have been to your last big boat show, you'll have been to your last big sports show, and that's very sad. And for those of you who listened to me for a while in the air, you know that for over 20 years, I was involved in the outdoor industry, in the sports show business. And I know how important it is to the local economy. I know the jobs those shows create when they show up at McCormick Place, or they show up in Milwaukee, or they show up elsewhere. I also know how it's brought together consumers as in no other format to help kickstart the start of the year at a sports show. And in Milwaukee, which was the biggest of them all, and certainly the best of them all, for many years, it was believed that the sports show was really the kickoff of spring, even though it happened in March. It was the kickoff of spring, and it brought 100,000 people to the convention center in Milwaukee. Lots of product was sold. Lots of trips were booked. That's not going to happen in 2021. That's a certainty. And I doubt it ever starts again. So we can say it was fun. A couple generations, three generations of people who love the outdoors went to sports shows in Chicago. You may remember the old amphitheater shows. If you've been around long enough, you certainly remember the shows in McCormick Place and at Rosemont. I think we can put them in the memory bank, in the book, their history. At least that's my view, after we have a year in 2021 when there won't be any. I'll be back with much more on the Great Outdoors in just a moment. And when I do, I want to talk a little about Canada next summer and how things might be playing out. I also want to talk about the NRA and what's going on there. And if we have time, I'm going to talk about something who's known as CMS, Central Management Systems, and that's in Illinois. and how it has been fleecing taxpayers for a long time, particularly in the outdoor recreation business. I'll be back with much more on the Great Outdoors in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter and your outdoor voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thanks for being with me this Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. When I went to the break, I was talking about I would come back and talk about Canada next summer. So as I mentioned, it does not look like we're going to have any sports shows, any outdoor shows of any kind this year, which will impact not only the industry, but it'll impact how you are able to book your fishing trip to Canada this summer. And one of the things that is a real question is, will you be able to go to Canada fishing this summer? Last year, it was a no-go. Couldn't go to Canada. You still can't go to Canada. If you're not able to go to Canada this coming summer to go fishing, I don't think it's realistic to believe there will be a single resort left that'll be able to take customers in 2022. I hope that's not true, but I can't, from my years of experience going to Canada, believe that all the wonderful lodge owners in Canada, across the Ontario and Quebec and Saskatchewan and Northwest Territories and Manitoba, I can't believe that they can survive 2 years with no American business, which is the largest part of their business. It'll be an absolute travesty if we can't go again this summer to our favorite places in Canada to go fishing or to go camping, but particularly fishing. For three generations now, the resorts and lodges in Canada have provided an outlet to Americans who want to get away from it all, have great fishing. And if Canada does not open up by June of next year and we have another lost summer, I think you're going to be very hard pressed to find a resort or lodge that's still on its feet come 2022. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But right now, I think the betting money is, until Canada has been very strict on this, until there's a vaccine that everyone has taken, or you can demonstrate you don't have COVID, I don't think Canada is going to welcome American fishermen and women in 2022. At least just the way it looks right now. This is November. We have actually the last Sunday in November. We have a long way to go, but in a way we don't. Because if these lodges can't be booking clients through the winter and into the early spring, then they're pretty much out of business next summer because they can't make the plans they need to make. We'll have more on that in the coming months, but it is something very much to keep an eye on. I do want to talk for a moment, and not in depth, but just a moment about the NRA. We've come through the election cycle, and I'm sure many of you wondered, where was the NRA? I myself wondered, where was the NRA? The NRA was not in the game. The NRA, as you may have been reading and or hearing, is in a precarious legal position. There's a question as to whether or not its executive staff, led by Wayne LaPierre, has in fact been on the up and up. I'm not saying he wasn't, but there are charges against him that that if proven true, will send him to jail. And at the very least, they're troubling. So the NRA is in real turmoil. They've lost its head of communications. Christopher Cox left over 2 years ago now. They really haven't recovered from that. He was head of their whole legislative team. The NRA, which has been such an advocate for sportsmen, goes way beyond gun rights, but such an advocate for sportsmen and women in America, is right now in floundering, and it is suffering financially. It's going to suffer politically. And you may see a lot of people running for cover, and one of the great brands in America, one of the really most powerful brands in America, the National Rifle Association, could be seriously compromised here in the coming months, depending on what happens with a number of the court suits and depending, frankly, on what happens with its longtime president, Wayne LaPierre, whether he hangs on or whether his board removes him. All these things are extremely important to the future of hunting and gun rights, sporting gun rights in particular, in America. So we'll talk more about the NRA as information becomes known. But right now, as we finish this election cycle, the NRA's absence was certainly very noticeable. Before I end the show, I do want to quickly talk about something called an entity most people don't know anything about, CMS in Illinois, Central Management Systems. Depending on what happens with Speaker Madigan and the Illinois legislature, whether he is, again, the Speaker of the House, we may, for the first time, be able to crack the code of what is one of the most wasteful and patronage-laden entities in all of Illinois government. Central Management System is where all state vehicles and things go to be fixed. Everything runs through there. So in the case of the Department of Natural Resources, if you have a tractor or you have a pickup truck, and let's say you're in Cairo, Illinois, and it breaks down, you can't take it to the local service station or the local mechanic to get it fixed. No, it has to go on a flatbed or something and get shipped all the way to Springfield, Illinois, rather, to where it is then serviced by CMS, Central Management Systems Services. And then it goes back to Cairo, Illinois. That does nothing for the economy of Cairo, Illinois, or pick any town, Grafton, Illinois, Vandalia, Illinois. Doesn't matter. Kankakee, Illinois, McHenry, doesn't matter. We have a centralized service system in Illinois, which in the case of the Department of Natural Resources, over time has cost them huge amounts of money. But also think about the impact in the local economy. You're a service station or a mechanic in McHenry, Illinois. The Department of Natural Resources has equipment right there. You can fix it, but you can't fix it. Instead, it has to go to Springfield to be fixed. If Speaker Madigan, Michael Madigan, is no longer the Speaker of the House, this might be one of those sacred cows that actually gets removed. It's been there forever. Brent Manning, the longtime director of the Department of Natural Resources, has harped for decades on the waste, but we've never been able to break the code to get rid of the central management service system where everything in Illinois goes to Springfield when it comes to things that need to be fixed and state vehicles and equipment and all of that. Hopefully it will change whether Michael Madigan remains the speaker or not. Hopefully this is something that the legislature will finally realize, you know, we have lots of ways in Illinois we need to save money, and one of them is to break up the stranglehold that CMS has had on the state legislature and, in fact, on many of the budget items. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors as we will have rolled into December. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.